The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson at KIIC Albia and John Jensen at the Outlook in Monona. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Well, Senator Grassley, it's been a year since the administration pulled out of Afghanistan, and yesterday Ned Price, a State Department spokesman, claimed that the U.S. is in a stronger position as a country because of that pullout. What do you have to say about that spin?
Well, they said that the Taliban promised us that the Al-Qaeda would never be back in the country, but we killed the Al-Qaeda leader. So it looks to me like it's going to be a haven for terrorists again. And we're in the worst position now because we're 1,000 miles away trying to keep track of what's going on with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And we can't do it. If we had still had eyes and ears there, we would be able to know what's going on. We don't. We're in a bad, bad position. Besides, he didn't make any mention of the fact that there's still American citizens we left behind. There's still Afghans that helped our military people in our mission over there, and their life is in danger because we didn't take them out. And we did get a lot of people out, but a lot of people that didn't deserve to get out. And some of them are in the United States now, and we believe that there's about 70 out of how many hundreds of people that are here. I don't know how many hundreds there are, but at least 70 of them have been determined to be a national security threat, and the FBI doesn't know where they are. So I think there's a lot to be concerned about. And the pullout was a disaster. 13 American service men and women being killed during that effort. It's just a sad commentary. It didn't have to be this way. And if he'd listened to his military people, it wouldn't happen. But he went ahead on his own.
Thank you.
Eldora?
Good morning, Senator. You recently criticized the Biden administration for its plan to increase the size of the IRS and its workforce. Explain your concern about that plan.
Yeah. My concern is that we ought to be spending our time on making sure that the taxpayers served by the IRS, if you make a phone call, only 10% get a real person, never get an answer to your question, and et cetera, et cetera. So the service is bad, and we ought to beef up the service. And if the service was up to snuff, it wouldn't be. We'd be collecting more money. So they brag about presently going after the big corporations and the wealthy in this country, and they say these 87,000 people that will double the IRS won't be going after middle-income people and small business people. Don't kid yourself. They're going to do it, and the way they're going to get more money is by intimidating small business and middle-income people. If you get a bill for $1,000 or $5,000, you're going to pay it. You want to get the IRS off your back, so they're intimidating you to collect more money that maybe you don't even owe, and because it costs a lot of money to hire lawyers. So you just move on, and it's just not the right thing to do. And I hope that succeeding Congresses can cut that back seriously. The other thing is, it's part of a bill that spends more money and taxes more. The taxes, according to the National Manufacturers Association, would cause 217,000 people to lose their jobs. So there's two rules when you're that apply to this bill that they shouldn't have, why they shouldn't have passed it. Number one, we're in a recession, two quarters of economic downturn. The rule is you shouldn't increase taxes when you're in a recession, but this does increase taxes. Then the other thing is we're in an inflation, 8.5% inflation. And when you're in inflation, you shouldn't spend another $413 billion feeding the fires of inflation back to Albia.
Well, Senator, you've been out and about with your constituents lately, and you were at the state fair talking with Iowans. So I've read about a thing called the suffering index for people. Did you hear people expressing that kind of sentiment, or are they generally optimistic? What's the feeling? What's the concerns?
Well, I think Iowans are just by birth very optimistic, but they're just like the rest of the country. The overwhelming number of Iowans think that the country's going in the wrong direction. I think it's by 74% now nationally, and Iowans are no exception. I think that inflation bothers them. The high cost of gasoline or energy generally, and then the border not being secured is what I hear from Iowans. That's what I hear at my town meetings. When I was at the state fair, we didn't have long conversations with anybody, but the people that talked to me were optimistic, but still very concerned. Back to Eldora.
Senator, and you touched on this just a moment ago, but many economists are predicting a recession by this time next year. What should the administration and Congress be doing to kind of stave off the recession the best they can?
Well, the extent to which we can get the tax increase off the books that was passed on August the 5th, the extent to which they're spending too much money feeding the fires of inflation, we can back off. I think that's the best we can do. But I think Congress has to admit that we don't have as much firepower as what the Fed does by increasing interest rates, and hopefully don't have to increase them much more, but they're going to have to keep doing it until they get inflation down to where they wanted it at 2% or less. Back to Albia.
Senator Grassley, you were interviewing FBI Director Wray, it seems like maybe two or three weeks ago, and he seemed really anxious to get out of D.C. It turns out he was going on vacation, I hear. So seems like the FBI is tarnishing their reputation here lately. Your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, he was at a hearing with us on Thursday before we adjourned for the August break. And he said, I've got to leave exactly at 1:30. And I said to him, we've got a lot of Republicans still got questions to answer. You'd only have to say each person was going to get 3 minutes to ask questions. We had seven that wanted to ask questions. That's 21 minutes. I said, you've got your own private plane that can wait another 20 minutes. He wouldn't do it. And then we found out later by traveling, because these government jets, there's a record of where they go. He went to the Adirondacks for a weekend. He did come back Monday. He was in the Midwest Monday and Tuesday. I had a chance to talk to him when he was in the Quad City area. That was the next day after the invasion of the president's home. We discussed those things. But here's what bothers me. Forget his weekend at his retreat in Adirondacks. Forget about all that. He's in charge of the FBI. We have a great deal of political bias in the FBI. You can look at it from the standpoint of how they handled Hillary Clinton's destruction of her emails, how they didn't invade her home. They invaded the president's home. And then I exposed some political bias by an agent in charge by the name of Tebow. He was in charge of approving investigations moving ahead or stopping investigations. You look at his social media, and you come to the conclusion that he's very partisan. So he opened an investigation on Trump, stopped an investigation on Hunter Biden. And so then is that political bias involved in the invasion of the president's home? I don't know, but we need to know. It's not these agents, these dozens of agents that are working at the grassroots in Iowa. It's at the, it's a culture at the top of the FBI that this president or this director has to do something about. You should have extraordinary confidence in the FBI, and because of this political bias, you don't have that confidence. And I'm not for defunding the FBI anymore, and I'm not for defunding the police. And some of my colleagues that talk about defunding the FBI shouldn't be saying that.
Senator, you and Senator Ossoff from Georgia recently passed a bill to improve public safety. Talk about that bill and the importance of that bipartisan legislation.
Yeah, that bipartisan legislation would do this. It would provide benefits to policemen that their families, where the policeman commits suicide because of PSDD that people get from the trauma that they have if they've been involved in a shooting or something like that. And it seems to me we need to be treating people equally, whether they die from gunshot wounds in a battle or whether they die because of the offshoot of the trauma of that same incident. Back to Albia.
Yes, Senator, the I just read where natural gas prices are expected to kind of skyrocket this winter, putting a further crunch to our budgets. Just seems like a perverse policy that really hurts poor and middle-class people from an administration that would claim to be for these very people.
Yeah, two things. One, they're putting additional regulation on fracking, so you can't get it out of the get the extra LP or natural gas that's not recoverable without fracking out of the ground. And another thing is not building the pipelines that carry it to the parts of the country that don't have access to natural gas now. Can you imagine the Democratic Senate candidate in Pennsylvania, Fetterman, wants to do away with fracking? There's thousands of jobs, and it's a big part of the economy of Pennsylvania. He wants to cause all those people to be unemployed. Let's go back to Eldora, and this will be the last question.
Senator Grassley, talk about the fall campaign and your race for re-election against Mike Franken. How is that going, and, you know, what have you got coming up in the next couple of months in the campaign?
Yeah. Well, my whole campaign strategy on every re-election is do the very best job you can to serve the people of Iowa, and the campaign will take care of itself. So that's my campaign strategy. Just to give you some facts about how I do it, I get to the office at 6 in the morning, usually leave at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, whenever the last vote happens. And then when I'm in Iowa, I come home every weekend to keep in touch with constituents. And then when I'm home, like for three or four weeks now in August for the summer break we have, I'm touring our 99 counties every year since I've been in the United States Senate, holding a Q&A in every county, letting my constituents set the agenda to keep in touch with people. And I've been doing that for all the years I've been in the United States Senate, and I'm going to do it for another 6 years after I'm reelected, and that's my campaign. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Tom and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.